The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is just in all his works and holy in all his ways. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured the sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Blessed indeed, especially when we have great readings, huh? And especially when they focus on the love of our God for us. That with St. Paul, we need to be able to say, "I am convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of God. I am convinced. And I don't think most people are. Even the ones that go to church, even the ones that are listening, sorry. I don't buy it. You know, last night I finished reading the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. Now, as I finished it, I think I disagree with him about 40%. I'll say 40. I mean, I would get mad and I'd sit there and say, I'm not reading this book anymore. He totally disagrees with the things he picks on people. He's doing the sins of detraction and everything else. He was a Christian. He left Christianity. I hate this book. But the reality was, it made me listen to see things different ways that I talked about last week. And I think that's good for me. It's good for someone who doesn't see things my way to let me see into how they think. But at the end of the book, you know, the guy ends up, he has 4-stage cancer. He's a young man. His wife just went through cancer. His mother just went through cancer. A lot of stuff was going on in his life as he would finish the book, writing the book. And I thought, you know what? This man needs Jesus. That's just what it was. This man really needs Jesus. Not the Jesus he was given when he was a boy, when he'd go to church and he'd hear all these things. And you can see he's very anti-racist. And when the Bible talks about racism and slaves, be obedient to your masters, you can see how someone might think, oh, I don't want that. You can see it. But the reality is that what Jesus calls us to is deeper than all those things. We're not called just to follow a moral law, not just to follow a bunch of rules. We're called to enter in to know the person of Jesus Christ. And when we do get to know how much he loves us, when we do go to him as we need to, he satisfies us. He fulfills our needs. But the problem is, like again, online and different things, people argue about Jesus. Why? Because they don't know Jesus. It's just that simple. We argue about Jesus as if he's a third person there. We argue about whether you do things right or I do things wrong, or you do everything wrong. Of course, I do everything right. But once you get to know Jesus, once you can say what St. Paul, who never had an experience of Jesus while he walked on the face of the earth, he has the same experience all of us do. He wrote most of the New Testament with the letters and everything he wrote. And yet he could say today, I am convinced of the love of God. Can you say that and mean it and know it? Are you convinced that God loves you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Nothing, right? And the way this can only happen is when we come to him, right? As the first reading, come to me. Isn't that thing there? It says, come to me heedfully. Listen that you might have life. That the only way to have this experiential thing of Jesus is to spend time with him. There is no other way, huh? Again, I told you the story when, you know, I was a college student. I was in the Christian ministries of national parks. And while I was down there, you know, we preached and, you know, on weekends, and I spent a whole summer there, my second year of college seminary. And one of the girls that was there, she was an Episcopalian, and we'd all go out to see movies or something, you know, on our days off. And so we're all getting ready to go out, and Shirley was her name. And Shirley, I found out, passed away a little bit ago. But Shirley came in, and she was all excited. I'm thinking, oh, dear. And I said, what's up, Shirley? And she says, Larry, do you know what Jesus did for me today? And I was like, what? Like, you know Jesus? Like, he did something for you today? And I'll never forget how shocked I was. Because here I was, a seminarian, I did all kinds of praying, but I sure as heck could not say to anyone, do you know what Jesus did for me today? I was in no way convinced of God's love for me. In no way. I was still in the part that I gotta earn God's love. I was still at the part that I better keep everything in gear. He's gonna damn me forever. I was still more concerned about me and so afraid of God. There was absolutely no love of me for God. There was only fear. And doesn't it talk about the Word of God that perfect love casts out fear? I had no love. I was doing things all for me. But then that really hit me. Here was a person who knew Jesus and spent time with him every day and could say without the least bit of embarrassment, "Do you know what Jesus Christ did for me today?" Huh? She could say, "I am convinced." I'm at the point in my life that I can say, "I am convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God." But how do you get there? Huh? Well, you got to come to Him. And that means you must spend time with God in prayer. It's just that simple. Here we all have been, and we have all this extra time. A lot of people, some people can't get to church yet. Some people can't leave their house. So what are you doing with this time? Are you going to Jesus? Are you just spending time with Him? Are you going to the box, the computer, your phone, the box of the television set? Are you becoming mush, just sitting there? Now notice, you get more depressed, don't you? You don't get more filled with life because you're going to the wrong box. You're going to the wrong person. You gotta come to Jesus. You just gotta spend time with Him every day. It's just no other way. There's no excuse for us not to spend time with God. There's none, zilch, none. You must spend time with God every day. You must give Him at least 5 minutes a day. Those who keep coming to confession to me all these years, the first question is, do you pray every day? And what's the number one answer, even here in this parish? I try. There is no trying, people. Do you want to live forever? Do you want to know the love of God? Do you want to be convinced that nothing will separate you from the love of God? Then you must pray. Period, comma, and not just a bunch of words, not just I said my rosary, not just I said my breviary, not just I said, you need to spend time with God. And what does that mean when you spend time with God? It comes and tells you that next line. Come to me heedfully, and then listen. So, I talked to you last week about how wisdom is we need to listen to others. Very important. But wisdom needs to be, before we can even listen to others, we got to listen to God. You must have time of listening every day. Now, I know I get passionate about this, but even when I get passionate and you feel uncomfortable because I'm pushing you, this is the most important thing you'll do in your life. There is nothing more important. And you can say a rosary every day and not know Jesus Christ. Is that true? You can say the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day and not know Jesus Christ. It's very true. I can be a priest and say Mass every day and not know Jesus Christ. Just because you go through the motions does not mean you enter into relationship. We must enter into relationship with Jesus. We must spend time with Him. We must be silent and listen to Him. If not, we just say a bunch of prayers and we can still be a pagan. And then, once we sit there and we are ones who spend time with Him and then we listen to Him, the best way to go, I can't listen to God, Father. I just can't. I get it almost every week. Father, I can't listen to God. I tried. I just can't do it. Oh, shut up. Literally. Shut up. Be still. And if you still can't do it, the best way to do it is today in the gospel, they came to Jesus and Jesus fulfilled their needs. And how did He fulfill their needs? What does Jesus do here? He multiplies the bread and the fish, correct? What does this symbolize? The Eucharist. Thank you, Ed. Everybody thought Ed was dead for the last 4 days, you know. Father Wright came to me last night and says, Do you know where Ed Root is? I have no idea. No one's heard from him in 5 days, he might be dead. Thanks, Ed, you're not dead. But anyway, nothing to do with it. The Eucharist is where we come to know Jesus Christ. And so if you want, you come and spend time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. There's still some of you who have not signed up an hour yet. You haven't done it. I have more important things. There's nothing more important than spending time with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Stop making excuses. It's enough. You commit yourself to spend an hour with Jesus Christ every week. Do it. Father, you don't understand. I do understand. Your priorities are messed up. I hate you, Father. Join the crowd. The reality is you must start doing this. This is more important. This is what's going to help you to know that you're going to live forever. You must. And then you got to spend time with him in his word. We spend a lot of time reading and online today. They go to apparitions. This apparition said this. The world is going to end. This one's going to happen. You spend time with Jesus Christ. Spend time with him in his word. That's where you're going to find out about him. That's where you're going to find out about truth. You got to do it. And so today, the question is, are you convinced that nothing will separate you from the love of God? Some of you are thinking, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be convinced. Really? The word of God then is a liar. Paul says, I am convinced. You and I must be convinced. And to do that, we need to go to Jesus and just spend time with him. We need to listen to him. We need to be there and really take in himself in the Eucharist, in the word of God. That's where we'll listen. And that is where you and I will be convinced. And you'll be able to say to people, do you know what Jesus Christ did for me today? Because you'll know Jesus. And you won't argue about Jesus. Got it? You get it? You gonna do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.